Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook, and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
How are you? Good to be here, Ron. Just me and you, it looks like.
And yeah, nobody else. Keith, Doug, Tom are on assignment. I have word. Word on the street is that they're on separate assignments this week.
Hey, speaking of that, before we get started, do you know if corporate has approved our move to Atlanta for the SEC football media days? Have we been approved for Radio Row as the corporate approved that yet?
Absolutely. That has come through. And Good. You can go ahead and book your travel.
All right. Good.
Ironically, going to Atlanta for the FIFA World Cup team event here shortly.
There you go.
So not as cool as Jason's trip that he talked about last week. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to his live reports on that. In this edition, the Cardinals surge. It's just another boring national championship for LSU. When is a stadium deadline not a deadline? And St. Louis City still has a lot of work to do. St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. You can catch Jason and First Coast at 912-314-4848 or 1, that's the number 1, stcoaststeel.com. And we'll hear more from them later in the show. We are coming to you tonight from the Local House Bistro Studios. They are our studio sponsors. Joe, not only are the dartboards in place, the slot machines have arrived. We may not ever see Keith Farrell again. That's right. In fact, I almost wonder, you think that could be his assignment?
It could be.
It could be.
I will not be surprised.
It could be. So stop by the bistro, check out these new additions, or if you prefer, you can head into the main bar area where you'll find 7 screens featuring your St. Louis Cardinals and St. Louis City. You will never miss a play at the Local House Bistro. Menu's fantastic. They just redid the menu again with steaks, fish, burgers, great selection of appetizers, as well as bar favorites, including burgers, pizzas, lots of apps. The group will take care of you very well up there. Tim, Rob, Holly, Whitney, Darian, Cheyenne, Dylan, and Cooper. All of this at 16524 Manchester Road. Eat local, drink local, and love local. It's the Local House Bistro. Joe Sperlin, what do you have for a quick hit?
Well, saw this today that Mizzou and Illinois canceled 2 games for next year, and I believe the other one was at 36?
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Yeah, 26 and 36. They are playing 27, 28, 29, and then for some reason taking a break and going 33, 34, and 35. But, hey, I think people enjoy that. The alumni, football fans, you know, Mizzou's playing KU week 2. They'd love to see him play Illinois. You know, it's like the USC Notre Dame thing. It's like OU, Oklahoma State. I mean, people want to see that, but the money talks, as I always like to say, and at least Mizzou has 6 games scheduled with them for now.
Right. And the other thing that I saw as just kind of a, you know, it's like me on the golf course, never eliminate a potential excuse. They said that there were, there's the ongoing discussions of the SEC going to a 9-game conference schedule. So if that's the case, you're going to want your 3 non-conference games to be softer, shall we say.
Yes. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. The 3 home games.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on those years, if you're going to do 4 and 5 or 5 and 4. So
I love how
57 days till week 0.
Week 0. I love how they justify some of those cupcakes. One of my favorites was, I forget, you know, insert generic recent Ohio State coach, but they were talking about, you know, them playing some of the smaller Ohio schools. And it's like, well, you know, for these kids, they maybe dreamt of being a Buckeye. and we unfortunately didn't have room for them, but, you know, they will get to play in the horseshoe, and they'll get to tell their grandkids they got to play in the horseshoe.
Yeah. I like it when they do the neutral site. That team gets to call it a home game. They have it in an NFL stadium, and at one time, attendance was a big deal for those smaller schools.
Oh, yeah.
Qualify for Division I. Now it's, I don't even think they do it anymore.
No.
But, you know, they'd be like, oh, it would average out our years. Oh, yeah, we had that home game one time and had 75,000 people when we played Ohio State at Cleveland.
Right. You know, and that was, you mentioned that. That was actually at one point something that they were talking about down at Missouri State. Because at one point you had to have a stadium that would seat 30,000 as a requirement to go Division I football.
Correct.
I don't know if they've just relaxed that or if they say, oh, we'll get there by year 20, whatever.
Yeah. I think that the TV, once again, the TV money said, now, well, we're good. We'll cover that.
That's fine.
Because, you know, as we like to say, even the Conference USA games, when they're playing Wednesday night, and there's 3,000 people there in the stands, maybe.
Generously, yes.
And the camera is very quick going through the stands when all that,
Yeah, so for my quick hit, I'm going to take us to baseball and to Steinbrenner Field. You know, there's always things that you don't think of when you get thrown into kind of emergency situations. And the Tampa Rays are once again contending for a playoff spot, which they seem to pretty much always do. But obviously they're playing in Steinbrenner Field, which is one of the Yankees farm team stadiums, which the seating capacity, in case you're wondering, at Steinbrenner Field, it's 10,046 people. And so I first heard Eduardo Perez talking about this Monday morning, and he brought it up. He's like, where are they going to play their playoff games? And I thought, well, that's a stupid question. You play your playoff games at your home field. And then he pointed out something that I either didn't know or had forgotten or both, that part of the money for the players for the playoffs is based on gate receipts. And so if you've got all of these stadiums with 40,000 plus, you know, some 50,000, and then you throw a stadium in there with a 10,000 seat capacity, that's going to cut into the gate. So that's big concern number one. Big concern number two is for these playoffs and situations like this, the American League or Major League Baseball, you know, has sponsors that they will need tickets for. So that's going to chew up some tickets. And then there's the TV production element. They need room to get all the trucks in. They need to get all of the shots and angles that you see in postseason games that you don't normally see during a regular season. In other words, it is not going to work. And they're talking about possibly playing the games at Miami. So, very strange.
Probably something they saw, that'll never happen.
Right. And they don't necessarily have a great answer for it next year either.
Yeah.
I don't know. And speaking of small stadiums, I guess you saw that our friend Khaled and his A's, they had a news conference to announce that they were starting their construction out in Vegas, but they had to actually rent the earth moving equipment as props.
Yes.
Because they weren't actually doing anything.
No. And as a follower of things going out in Vegas, they're still not expecting it to happen.
No. That's just a mess. Talk about a mess. My goodness. I have a feeling that they'll get the Tampa thing very well taken care of before they get that Oakland issue.
You're going to, if you go out there in the next 3 or 4 years, there still might be a shell of a stadium right there. Yeah.
It's starting to sound like the Simpsons monorail episode just a little bit.
Yeah.
But closer to home, the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, the last time we got together for a podcast, they were 7 games behind the Cubs. And today, as we sit here right now, they're 4.5. That's not a bad week.
No, they correct me if I'm wrong. They split the
split with Chicago. Year. Yes. Yeah. So they sit at 44-38, 4.5 games out. And FanDuel ran some stats today before the game. You know, we're very close to midseason, And the Cardinals find themselves in the top five in the National League in both quality starts and innings pitched. So they're fourth most innings pitched among starters, which I never would have guessed at the start of the season. 34 quality starts, which is fifth in the league. The bullpen ERA is 3.88, which is sixth in the National League. So middle of pack. 15 one-run wins, which is tied for fifth in the majors. And they played some exciting baseball. They're scoring 4.7 runs a game, tied for sixth in Major League Baseball. And finally, 20 comeback wins, which is tied for eighth. And the defense, I think the defense has kind of been the story. 28 outs above average, which is the most in the major league. And they've made 33 errors, which is the fifth fewest in the majors. So going back to the start of the season, this is not where we thought we'd be.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Even though it's not officially, the break, it is mid-season, and I think you guys are right. I think if we'd have said all that at the beginning of the year, I think everybody would have said, "I'll take it." I mean, they're a half game out of the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we always talked about at the beginning of the year how they were not winning on the road. Well, they're 18-21 now on the road.
Yeah, yeah, they figured that out.
But I have this question, and I'm getting maybe ahead of ourselves here, Ron. If it continues coming to the trade deadline,
uh-huh.
Ron Cook, GM of the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Nice office.
Do you go for the current, or do you say, look, anything we're getting right now is good, but we're looking on down the road? I mean, we want to get this backwards every year, and we don't have the people to do this every year. Yeah. Is that what you do? What do you think?
I think, given the little bit of work I've done in politics, the answer to your question is yes. And, the suggestion that I heard is you might do something like, okay, maybe you trade Eric Fetty, who's going to be a free agent. Okay. And that opens up a spot for Michael McGreevy, who has been really good. And we don't have a spot in the rotation for him. Okay, McGreevy comes up. There you go. Larry Plow, the general manager of the Blues, had one of the great lines that I have quoted, and everyone in St. Louis quotes this. The Blues one year had a bunch of injuries among key players, and a whole bunch of young people came up and were doing really, really well. And they're like, Larry, what are you going to do when you get back all of these really good players and you've got all these young guys doing great? And he just kind of like, said, these things have a way of taking care of themselves.
Yeah. And I really think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. More often than not, it really is. And so I think that, we're talking about trading Fetty. All it's going to take is someone waking up with forearm tightness tomorrow in the starting rotation.
Exactly.
And there you go. That ends that discussion.
And I'll be honest with you. I had to look up my boy Lars.
Great week. Great. That was a different injury. The adductor.
Yeah. What was also the intercostal?
Oh, yeah. The intercostal. Right.
I had to look that one up.
Apparently, it's a fancy word for ribs. Yeah. And I was, as soon as I heard that, I thought they're like, oh, we expect him to be back today, when I was going back to our Cardinal predictions about when he would go on the DL for the first time.
Yeah.
But he had a very good series against the Cubs. They missed him today. Yeah, shut out the last two games. So they win the first two games against the Cubs very, in convincing, thrilling fashion. And then yesterday and today just shut out.
And one I heard today, which I wouldn't have guessed, a player for the Cubs by the last name of Bush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first home run ever named Bush in Bush Stadium.
Well, that is fantastic trivia. That's good stuff.
Spelled the same way. I'm sure someone would argue.
Yeah.
The same way.
I guess Homer Bush never made it. Homer was, I think Homer was from East St. Louis, if I'm remembering correctly. But no, it's made for a much more interesting summer. And it's good to have competitive baseball. One of our neighbors who listens, a gentleman named Bob Hobb, if the game gets close – He has to go get in his car and drive around. He's been tremendously successful with this. I can't tell you the number of times, you know, we talked about those come from behind victories. That's probably because Bob is tooling around the neighborhood. And, I suggested, hey, Bob, what have you tried switching chairs? You know, maybe that might be a little bit easier than, you know, getting in your car and driving around. He's whatever works.
Exactly.
It's kind of like kind of like Bull Durham. You don't mess with a streak.
Exactly. I was getting ready to say the same thing.
And then you ask him, why don't you just start driving around at the beginning? No, you don't mess with a streak.
Exactly. You've got to have a process here. So we go to Cleveland now. Cleveland's down a little bit. Actually, Cleveland's down a lot this year. A little bit of a surprise. I'm looking at the standings right now. Well, I say that they're one game above 500, but they're 9.5 games out of first place, which is not where you typically see them. Why is that? Because of your juggernaut Detroit Tigers, Joe Sperling, 51 and 31.
Them and the Dodgers, 50 and 31.
Ooh. Wow. That would be an interesting World Series.
Yeah,
just looking down the road a little bit.
Yeah, they'll like I said, Fox will love that.
Oh yeah, and the East continues to be just you know, they bash each other over the head with wiffle bats every day. It looks like Yankees, Rays, and the Jays are surprising. I didn't see them at 43 and 37, and in the West, the Astros in first place by 6 over the Mariners, and
I think I saw they had some ridiculous record in June.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that's like they're back to normal, as they say.
Astros are 7-3 in their last 10. Anything else around Major League Baseball catching your eye?
As I watched the end of the game and they had the strikeout and that closer for the Cubs, just whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think that's the society of, you know, act like you've been there before. I mean, you know, and then the hitting by pitches, you know, I think anybody, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres had that big deal. Tatis, I guess they're checking his hand. If that would have hit Wilson's hand today, I mean, you don't. And Ron, I don't know if it's just the young pitchers, like you say, the old pitch them inside and they just get out of control. But you know, they threw a fit because Tatis someone got hit by a pitch and it hit his padding that he had on the elbow, and they threw a fit about it.
Yeah.
Or he hit him in the hip. You know, that's the deal. Hey, hit him in the hip and let's go on. But the dancing around and just going ballistic when they get hit by a pitch, I don't know.
Well, and you actually hit on the really good point there, because right now in the minors or anywhere, they will take speed over control. And
did you send the deal talking about how many pitchers have recorded over 100-mile-hour pitches?
That's silly. That used to be a big deal.
Well, and we'll talk about that. The LSU pitcher, big old guy, come in to pitch, and they're like, hey, this guy goes over 100 miles an hour. That's the very first thing he said about him.
Yeah. 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 And I was out of the room when he threw his first pitches, and my wife's like, this reliever, my gosh. I'm like, anyway. So anything else around the league catching your eye? I think that's a pretty good survey of Major League Baseball, except we're going to talk just a little bit more when we go into our loose ends.
Yeah.
As we, once again, in the spirit of Keith Farrell, who occasionally is out there tying up his own loose ends. And by the way, we're into a part of the summer. I played golf once with a longtime producer in St. Louis Talk Radio. His name is Iggy Strode. And he talked about the period that we're in right now. He said from when there's no hockey and basketball until the start of training camps, he said that is the worst period for talk radio by far all year, because the only thing you have going on is baseball. And that was before MLS, you know, kind of got going. And he said, there's one card that you can slap down, that you can only slap it down once a summer. And he said, it's if ever you look over and you see just like two calls on the board, all you have to do is almost casually say, hey, you think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame? He said, then the whole board is lit up.
Exactly.
And
unfortunately, then there's 12 to 15, 20 guys you could do that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then not only is the whole board lit up, but everyone is like screaming that the previous person was a complete idiot for what they said. So, so back to our loose ends. We said, when is a deadline not a deadline? I think the correct answer there is for the stadium situation with the Chiefs.
You know, as you draw that line in the sand, then you just draw another line and say, no, that one's not it. And I think you do that to say, hey, we could make a decision on that day, even though everybody knows there's not going to be a decision made.
No.
You know, there's a June 30th deadline, and they will make an extension. And not just one extension.
There could be endless extensions.
I still can't imagine spending $1 billion when you could be like everybody else in the league and be the fanciest $3 billion stadium.
Yeah. Now, the word I've heard on the street, and again, this is on the street, is that the Chiefs might stay there at GEHA Field, and the Royals seem keen on jumping across to Kansas. And if that were to happen, then that would expand the area around Arrowhead, because obviously there would, you know, they would take down Kauffman Stadium so they could have additional, you know, they could build another building, they could do parking, they could do whatever they want to do. They could build Chief World. I don't know. Yeah. I'm making stuff up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just think as I said, Jason just sliding a roof over it. I just don't see that. And then they showed one that I saw. It almost looked like a college stadium. How the college stadiums have the, as I call it, the terrace around the top.
Yeah.
And you got the old bigger, the bigger stadium than like Cowboys Stadium. It was probably about half of it, but.
They could do like what they did at Miami, you know, when they kind of like built that square over the top of the stadium.
Yeah.
More or less. So that is, that's loose end number one. Loose end number two, this guy, Cal Raleigh for the Seattle Mariners, right now, before the All-Star break, 32 home runs, 69 runs batted in. That's not a bad season.
No.
And he breaks the home run record by Johnny Bench. That's when you start breaking records by Johnny Bench, you're having a pretty good year.
I would say so. And it'll probably get around that maybe they'll find a way to pitch around that guy and all that, but right now he's on.
Yeah, a switch hitting catcher. And if you look back, he's not an overnight sensation. He's had a couple of pretty solid seasons before. You know, just looking back, he's had, let's see, last year he had 34 home runs, year before 30, year before 27. So, you know, he's been, I think most teams would like that from their catcher.
I think so.
So on to item three, Oklahoma City wins the NBA tournament and or the NBA championship. And one thing that just kind of made me scratch my head, and they corrected themselves on this a little bit later, they're like, for Oklahoma City, it would be their first championship. And I said, I think Jack Sikma bears.
That's right.
Jack Sikma would disagree.
Gus Williams. You know, the thing I like about the NBA, okay, the lack of champagne and beer bottles that was popped in that because they couldn't drink or didn't know how to drink, which kind of makes you feel good, or didn't want to, or weren't old enough. But then like a week to 7 to 10 days, you have the draft. And then in 7 to 10 days, the preseason starts and they're playing summer league.
Yeah.
And then they have a little bit of time off. And then what is it? The end of September, they start camp.
Yeah. We've mentioned on this podcast many times about how the, NFL is becoming a year-round league. My goodness, the NBA truly is becoming a year-round league. And speaking of other leagues that are getting ready to have some of those things you just mentioned, July 1st is always circled on the hockey fans' calendars because that is when free agents come, free agency begins in the NHL. And for the Blues this year, one of their more prominent players, Mr. Jordan Kyrou, moves to no trade protection. So the speculation is that the Blues have to decide if they want to be committed to him for the next several years or send him down the road. Lots of interesting questions there. They seem to be tying Noah Dobson, a 25-year-old restricted free agent, with the New York Islanders. They think that could be a one-for-one trade almost. And Kyrou is kind of a lightning rod among Blues fans because twice last year, not once, but twice, you know, you like to say one person doesn't lose a game. Well, it was a close game late in the game, and he turned the puck over in the neutral zone. The other team takes it in and scores.
Yeah.
Improvement needed.
Yeah.
So we just have a few days to wait on that. We have another loose end. Oh, Mr. Rogers is pretty sure that this season for Pittsburgh will be his last in the National Football League.
You didn't really expect him to come out and actually make a statement, yes or no, did you?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Hey, we'll see how his season goes.
Yeah. Yeah, if he has, and he's not, it is not out of the realm of possibility that he could have a very good season. So if he has a very good season, then.
Yeah. And I'm also pretty sure that he won't finish this season.
Yeah,
I do.
And then here's one I'm just going to let you talk about, our good friend, Mr. Jim Pendergrass.
Jim Pendergrass, that's right. The news leader down here in the Springfield area had the top 25 coaches of the past 25 years. And Jim Pendergrass, with state championship there from Kickapoo and Chadwick, made the list. There's a pretty good list of, when you kind of get through there, there's a couple of them you forgot about, but you know, there was quite a list of people that Hall of Famers. So
yeah, and again, he wasn't just up against high school coaches; he was up against college and everyone who had coached in Southwest Missouri.
And it's amazing, Ron, that number one, and I thought she would be one or two. Gutton, I didn't know which one they'd put first, but Gutton was two, and Cheryl was number one. I mean, and that was literally 25 years ago. Still, I mean, known for that. I mean, and the easy call for the top athlete was Jackie Stiles.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. It's just amazing that 25 years, she's still there. So,
yeah. So with that, Joe Sperlin and I have wrapped up the loose ends. It's the halftime point here in the St. Louis Sports Podcast. When we come back, we'll talk about LSU winning yet another College World Series. St. Louis City loses yet another game. And our old friend, the head ball coach, makes yet another fantastic comment. When we come back.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process, designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848 or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number one, S-T, coaststeel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements, integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings, 912-314-4848. Or firstcoaststeel.com.
discounts for military and first responders.
And we're back on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Joe Sperlin, and I am Ron Cook. And Joe, the Louisiana State University Fighting Tigers won their 8th College World Series last Sunday. Not bad.
I'll just mention this as the way there. How about Arkansas doing it again?
Oh, my.
I mean, the way they locked it, it was literally like they freaked out.
You get feelings in a game every once in a while, if you've watched as much sports as we have. And after that misplay and left, you know, I call it a misplay. It was a tough play.
Yeah.
Should have been made, though. If you get your ball on the glove, it should be made. You know, Keith and I were watching it at a local establishment, and I said, this isn't going extra innings.
No.
They're going to win it right here.
No. The double play, when they decided to get the lead out and not the double play.
I couldn't believe that.
Or at least try for the – and he said, oh, the ball was hit that way. Nah, not really. But anyway, congratulations to them. Everybody wants to talk about the Coastal. You know, obviously there had probably been something going on with that in the game one that probably Coastal felt like, hey, we weren't getting calls because we're Coastal Carolina and you're LSU, and I'm going to make a point of this. The greatest thing ever was the Coastal, I want to say manager, coach, saying it wasn't his fault that the umpires were non-athletic. You know, it's not my fault. There's no athletics in the umpire, but you feel bad going that way. I mean, but I always like to say, and it's weird because baseball's that way. People say, well, that's baseball. You know, you don't get to come out and argue balls and strikes.
It's an ejection at every level.
I mean, and it's, I don't care if it's 9U coach pitch, you know what I mean? That's what, and people will say, oh, it's baseball. No, it's not. It's Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not high school, not youth, not anything. You can come out and question a rule, but if you come out and question a, I mean, and then you don't let it go.
Yeah. No less than Keith Law, legendary baseball writer, said that he now believes that college baseball right now is easily at a double A level. And he said, that's not the case. That's a big jump compared to where it was 10, 15 years ago. The quality of play at college baseball has just elevated by that much. And you were talking about the LSU reliever coming in and throwing 100 miles an hour. And yeah, some of the, again, I'll never forget the night that I told Amy, Keith's wife, and Keith up at the Bistro, you've got to see this guy pitch for LSU. His name is Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
And, you know, less than a year later, he's starting the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So it's fun. LSU now is second in terms of College World Series wins behind only USC. Did you know USC has not won a College World Series since 1978?
If you would have said me, I would have said a long time, and that would be classified as a long time.
That is a long time.
You know, it is amazing, and I hate to say this because, you know, it'll be the – because it just means more. But the SEC, I mean, especially in those type sports of being down in the South, and it the athletics just, I mean, it appears to be a lot more important than perhaps maybe out in California. Because think about all the athletics.
Right.
USC, UCLA, I mean, and before here lately, and we'll be talking about this here in a little bit, but Texas kind of got that way.
Yeah, and they were talking, and not only, you know, you bring up a very good point there, but you also, when you get into, like, the baseball at LSU, and I've told Jamie that I follow LSU's baseball more than I follow their basketball, just because it's a better product and more exciting. And they were talking on the podcast, you know, when they had that weather delay that one night, about how LSU was used to it, you know, being in Louisiana in the spring, with the wicked storms they get through. And they've talked about how the LSU coach has this way of, like, convincing umpires. They call them sunshine delays, because there's a storm like 30 minutes out and he doesn't want to waste his pitcher throwing two innings So he'll like go out there and show the umpires, hey, you know, we got this giant storm coming. So why don't we just wait and start the game in 30 minutes? So
that
I mean,
makes that, a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing now, Ron, too, is as almost all other sports are, if I'm a high school kid and I'm not good enough to get recruited by LSU at the time, I go somewhere else and I put up numbers. And now LSU's, I mean, they're getting their pick of players. And you are that guy that was, instead of the major league draft, no, I think I'll go to LSU and play a couple years and see how my stock rises in the NFL, or excuse me, the Major League Baseball draft.
And see if I can date a gymnast.
Yeah. Because it worked for that one guy.
It did. It worked out well for Mr. Skeens. In other college news, Steve Spurrier, who you and I have followed for a very, very, very long time. I'll just read the quote and then I'll let you take off on it. He was on a podcast and he said, he has a long history of needling the Mannings.
Yes.
My favorite was, let's see, there was... Well, first there was sure Peyton came back. He wanted to be a 3-time Citrus Bowl MVP.
Yes.
But here was his quote this past week. I think most people are picking Texas to win the SEC. They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too. My question is, if he's that good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all that time last year? He was a 7th-round pick.
And you know, and I was disappointed, Ron. I thought at some point you would stop and go, like he does in the middle of those deals right there. My favorite was, you can't spell citrus without UT.
UT. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Eli, I think he kind of did, but oh, the Tennessee and Peyton loved it. So, yeah, anytime, hey, Texas, welcome to the SEC. If you got the old head ball coach kind of getting you a little bit there. So I cannot argue with his discussion right there. I mean, I cannot.
Well, you know, and that's something that it's been a criticism of the Cardinals. And this is going to, you're like, okay, how are you bringing the Cardinals into this? And they've talked about some of the pitchers that they've used and players they've used, and they say contracts play. In other words, if we're paying a guy $12 million a year, who cares if we've got someone at Memphis that's clearly a better player? We're paying this guy, so we're going to play him. You think that's going to hit with this NIL stuff? That, hey, we're paying Quinn Ewers $4 million a year. We're sure as heck not going to have him holding a clipboard over there.
Oh, I think so. And I think the expectations were, there might have been a discussion, if Arch isn't going to go full-time, we're not going to do that. And I think Sartesian was the same way. But I just always think back when Arch was coming out of high school, there was few of them, because you don't want to be that guy, but it also gets people to read your article, said if his last name was Smith, he would not be as highly regarded as he was.
No.
So,
no, he would not.
Hey, we're going to find out this year.
Yeah, he's and excuse
early.
Me,
we're gonna find out early.
Very, like, yeah, week one at the horseshoe.
Yeah.
And then my final college item, Pablo Torre, who they were giving him a hard time. They said that he's become like the chronicler of the Bill Belichick situation in North Carolina. Says that he does not think Belichick will go more than 2 years there. And he made some waves earlier this year by saying he might not ever coach a game because the buyout drops from $10 million to $1 million. Again, July 1st. A lot happening on July 1st. We'll get to a little bit more later, but a lot happens on July 1st. So that seems like a fairly interesting bet there. Over under on 2 years for Belichick at North Carolina.
I think 2 years would be it, I think, but I just don't see him doing it that long. I think, because here's what'll happen. If he does have success early, year one, and then going into year two, then they'll just be some desperate NFL team getting back.
or the handoff to the son, which you wonder if that's already written into some contract somewhere. So, and I forget.
He may find other things to keep himself interested here with that young lady.
Young lady, yes. Who apparently is being, I don't want to use the word banned, but I keep seeing like restricted from football related activities. And I get the feeling almost that some of that is not necessarily Bill's idea.
No.
So, and very quickly, we'll just touch on St. Louis City. Last night, a sellout crowd, myself and my lovely wife included, perspired a lot as we watched City go down 4-2 to Orlando City, a very good team at Energizer Park last night. City gave up 2 goals in the first 10 minutes of the game. That was...
wait till the end.
They front-loaded this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were down 3 goals before the halfway point of the first half. But then they did battle back, made it a 3-2 game for a large part of the second half before surrendering the goal for the final margin of 4-2. City now winless in their past 3 games. The defense that started out so positively at the start of the year has now given up 10 goals in its past 4 games. This is where you get to say, that's not very good.
No.
And they play at Houston, yet another nice temperate climate on Saturday. That's a little bit of a later start there down in Houston. So, with that, we have reached the last call brought to you by the Local House Bistro. Joe Sperlin, what do you have?
You know, we kind of mentioned this basketball, the NBA. In the next couple of weeks, they're supposed to announce, will they expand the tournament to 76? NCAA tournament in 26. So, that would be 8 more? Is that correct? Are they currently 68 with the 4 in? Isn't that right? Anyway,
that's correct.
If they add 8 to 10, my question is this for the runner-up of the Missouri Valley, or shall we now say Conference USA, or the regular season person that had an outstanding record got beat, or is this going to be 8 guys that were 14th in their league in a 18-team league? So I'll be interested to do that. But they did extend the regular season now to 32 games. And the plan was that one game for you to play that top opponent, not another home game for you to, but they said the idea was to get a top opponent game.
So not necessarily a rivalry game, but bring in someone to kind of stretch yourself.
He said a top rated opponent, that's why they were given another game. So not the local directional school, to give them a little bit extra money. So,
you know, that could, I was thinking about this when we were talking about that in football earlier, you could almost talk about in like both sports rivalries that should happen every year. Because a lot of them aren't getting played now with all of the geography and with all of the conference movement. It's just silly.
I'm wondering on the tournament, will that make the play-in dates, what would that be, Tuesday, Wednesday now, will those be full?
Yeah.
Full 6 or 8 game days.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what they're supposed to do. The TV contracts are like, we could care less because you'll just want more money from us, and we're not going to do that until we renegotiate. So
it's either going to have to be, or you're going to have so many games going on simultaneously. It'll be like, you know, when you've got all your little boxes up in the upper right hand corner. You know,
now your one sheet tournament bracket will be impossible to read.
It'll be in like 6-point font.
Yes.
And as you point out annually, it is the one time a year where you locate True TV.
That's right.
That's really it. So I mentioned there was more coming for my last call. There was more coming with July 1st. And this is, Joe, this is one I know you've followed for years. July 1st is yet another Bobby Bonilla Day. If you're not familiar with Bobby Bonilla Day, and I'm bringing it up because this will happen before we get together again on the podcast, July 1st is when Bobby Bonilla, as part of his contract with the Mets, he's 62, by the way, he will collect a check for $1,193,248.20 from the Mets. And that is every July 1st from 2011 through 2035. One of the wonderful contracts in the history of the sport. So as long as he's fogging a mirror on July 1st, he gets over $1 million. And as you and I have pointed out, rookies called up from AAA are not making as much as Bobby Bonilla for the Mets.
And I think the thing is, he was the first to do this. Mm-hmm. There are several of them that do it, but no one gets recognized like Bobby Bowen. If I remember right, Ron, I don't even think at first he even realized that it was in his contract.
That sounds correct. It's kind of like, hey, here's a check for $1 million.
That he got that huge money, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, and by the way, you're going to get this check. Oh, okay.
It's a little bit like in Caddyshack. Here's an uncash check for $70,000. And another.
You keep it.
Keep it. So we once again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We have, again, over 1,000 followers, which we just can't believe, but we're really appreciative to each and every one of you. Please, if you haven't rated us or followed the podcast, that would help us out a lot. You can go to Apple or Spotify or whichever. And if you give us a 5-star review, that would really be appreciated. We're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on Blue Sky, we're on YouTube, and our website is stlsportists.com. Joe Sperlin, as always, sir, pleasure visiting with you.
Ron, I always love doing this when it's just me and you, because as we like to say, this is kind of how this, in the very origins, mm-hmm. how this kind of come together of me and you talking at halftime of games and after games and everything else. So I always enjoy it. I miss those other guys being on assignment, but I enjoy it when it's just me and you.
Indeed, indeed. It's and then Jamie says, wow, you guys should do a podcast. And here we are.
Yeah.
Go right. Figure. Go figure. So again, folks, thank you for listening. And until next week, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.